Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Let's have a bear meeting here.
A one, two. Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
I thought Caleb made some real strides in improvement on Sunday by just stepping up, trusting his protection, and going right into the pocket here and making one throw after another.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Mark Grody and Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully and Haw today. Yeah, he is Baldy. He has a breakdown. We are joined by the Odyssey NFL insider, Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, happy new year. I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, happy new year to you as well. Yes, I have to remind myself it is 2025. And as you may or may not have heard in our sports update, Jalen Johnson, the lone Pro Bowler for the Bears. Meantime, in the division, in the mighty NFC North, there are 5 Vikings, there are 7 Lions, there are 3 Packers, and I think that is perfectly indicative of how good this division has gotten and the fact that the Bears have won, that they have not done their part in this NFC North. Baldy, how far away do you think the Bears are now from those 3 other teams in the NFC North?
Well, I mean, a long ways away. All 3 of those teams have excellent offensive lines. The Vikings lost an all-pro left tackle midway through the season. Literally 2 days later, they traded for a starting left tackle in Cam Robinson, and they haven't really skipped much of a beat. All those teams can run the football. All those teams have stability at the head coaching position, at the offensive coordinator position, and the Bears don't have any of that. They don't have an offensive line. They've never built an offensive line in recent years. None of them have any stability at the head coach or the offensive playing position, coordinator position. So they're far behind. They got a lot to do to improve the roster and to catch up at this point.
Baldy had a tweet after the Seattle game talking about the pass protection for the Bears and how the Seahawks were just breaking them down. Sacks, quarterback hits. Quarterback. You're kind of wondering why there's so much confusion. Now, this week, Caleb Williams took sort of the blame on himself and said a lot of the sacks are on him. And I'm curious to get sort of your interpretation of him taking accountability for something that he seemingly believes he's struggling with.
Well, he's been sacked 67 times. So, I mean, that's an absurd number.
Right.
So it starts there. But, yeah, he's responsible for it. It's a quarterback stat. I mean, you can throw all the touchdowns, interceptions, and yards and all that stuff, but the sacks are a quarterback stat. And so he's responsible for some. He's run himself into some sacks. He's played a pretty frenetic style, which never works in this league. But some of it is, I don't blame him. Some of it is, you know, horrendous play calling. I don't know how many times on 3rd and 4 this year I've seen nothing but like 4 vertical routes going down the field, wondering what they're trying to do. Like, they're not trying to hit a touchdown. You're trying to get a first down and stay on the field. They weren't able to do that. And it didn't matter who was calling the plays. It's happened repeatedly. So, I mean, some of it is the offensive line. You know, you got a rookie left tackle out there a couple weeks ago, Armagedji, and They're not helping him on some of these situations, and you know he's getting beat badly, as a lot of rookies do. And there's no way to help him in your design or your scheme. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but that's good that Caleb, you know, took some of the responsibility for some of the sacks, because quite frankly, he sacked himself a few times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. And I'd have to go back to and dig into all of the sacks and see if we can even detect where the responsibility comes from. I'm wondering too, Brian, because we've not really had, or I haven't heard a satisfactory answer yet this season as to why the Bears are so bad early in games, and even in particular the first drives of games. Why do you think that is, and what have you seen with the Bears? Is there anything detectable as to why they have these horrible starts to games this year?
You mean how you can score only 20 points in 16 games in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Well, you know, against Seattle, they weren't good in any quarter, so it didn't really matter.
What a dud, man. Nine points total in an NFL game, Baldy.
Well, that's one of the worst games that anybody's ever seen, honestly, in any level of football. But Well, you've got to be able to sustain offense and stay on the field. And they constantly are in third and longs early in games, and they're just hard to they're hard to convert. You don't have any rhythm. You haven't established any kind of a run. Any of those things are very difficult to handle. But even like last week, you know, early in the game against Seattle, you know, I mean, they had makeable third downs, third and five. You know, and you know they can't make the easy conversions to stay on the field, just to stay, to try to get into your playbook. You've been rehearsing this, this game plan for three straight days. You've probably got, you know, top 15 plays that you've rehearsed, but you don't even get into it because you're off the field in three plays. And that just happened, it seemed like, week in, week out, no matter who they were playing.
Baldy, no one wants to talk about in Halas Hall this week that there's a game on Sunday. Everyone's talking about the offseason, the head coaching search, what this team is going to look like next year, and Caleb's role in the head coaching search. I'm curious to get your thoughts about who you believe would be a good fit to come lead this team next year. What kind of person? What kind of coach?
Vince Lombardi. I don't know.
I know, right?
I'm not sure. I mean,
it's a tough question.
It's a hard question.
It really is.
It's a hard question.
In particular with this team. Yes.
No, look, I mean, they're going to see, you know, a great coach in Matt LaFleur this weekend. And he's done an unbelievable job with different quarterbacks and changing defensive coordinators in a year. And they just keep winning football games and going to the playoffs. And so you go, okay, well, what's Matt LaFleur? Where'd he come from? Who was Matt LaFleur before he was Matt LaFleur? Like, what was his role? And so I think but nobody knew that Matt LaFleur could do what he's done. He transitions from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. They got a new general manager. The president retired. Like, all these things happen to them, yet they're stable. You know, they don't have a first-round pick on the offensive line. But so what they do is they draft good players and they develop them. And that seems to be missing in Chicago. It's something so basic is, okay, we're going to go draft real players and we're going to develop those players. Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, they're starting offensive tackles. They were taken in the fifth round and the sixth round. But they're starters on a really good team. And so it starts with drafting players and developing your players. They rarely participate in free agency. They got Xavier McKinney this year to play safety. But they also drafted two safeties and are both really good players. So to me, it's about that you could go get Ben Johnson, you could go get Brian Flores, you could go get Mike Vrabel, you could go get all the guys that people might be talking about. But until they start developing their own players, I don't know if any coach is going to survive.
So true, man. I mean, that's why it's a difficult question, because they've had a lot of duds have the Bears recently in terms of their head coaches. So it's a hard question to answer. One of the things, too, I was remembering, Baldy, is before the season started, I had you on, and I don't expect you to remember this specific interview, but we talked about the Bears' defense, and we talked about Austin Booker a little bit. And I remember you telling me that, oh, yeah, I mean, don't expect big things out of Austin Booker. It's kind of going to be a redshirt year for him. That's played out, like, in terms of the, you know, developing your own guys. He looked really good in the preseason, but has been pretty non-existent during the season. So I'm not necessarily just asking about Booker, but this entire defense too, like in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, we all thought this might be a top five defense. Boy, were we wrong. They flirted with top 10. Now they're like 23, 24. And a big problem again this year is not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. Do you think that they need change in personnel, or is it what you were just talking about, and that is developing and coaching and growing your own players, even if they're not young players?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you look at Booker, I mean, he comes out of Kansas. And you just watch Big 12 games. I announced those games for 10 years. So, like, I know they all play the same defense in the Big 12. They all play a 3-3 double cloud. You really don't get much of an opportunity to rush the passer. The offenses are just passing offenses. It's not like playing in the SEC where you got to really defend. I mean, it's just a different brand of football. But regardless, Austin Booker wasn't going to have an impact this year because of the defense he came from, what he was asked to do at Kansas. He got drafted because of his measurables. He's long. He's a good kid. He's a hard worker. He plays with good energy. He got drafted probably in the right spot, but you got to develop that kid. Like, he's got to learn how to play. He's got to learn how to take on blocks. He's got to recognize the run game. When you go against Detroit and you're seeing counter trays coming right at you, you're seeing fullbacks. I mean, it's just different. So I'm not ripping him, but I mean, is Jervon Dexter really an elite player? Is Andrew Billings, is if he's in there, is he like their role? None of them are great pass rushers. None of them can do what those guys in Minnesota can do, and so then you're relying on your scheme to kind of get to the quarterback and affect the quarterback. Well, I mean, scheme can only do so much. Watch Detroit play defense right now, you know, without some of those monsters they had up front. Like, they're not very good, and so you got to get better depth, and you got to get better players, and it starts with drafting them. You can hit free agency. I mean, trading for Montez Sweat is a good trade. You want him on your team. He can help. He can't be nobody. Nick Bosa can't do it by himself. You need inside pressure. You need outside pressure. You need guys that can win one on ones. Like, Minnesota went out and got great players. Jonathan Grenard is a great player. Like, his takeoff is elite. Andrew Van Ginkle could be a contender for Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he's their playmaker. Pat Jones really developed. Like, they rebuilt their whole defensive line, entire defensive line. But they coached them up really good, and they had an eye for talent. And that's why they're 14-2 and probably have a very good chance of being the number one seed in the NFC.
You mentioned Jervon Dexter in that, and boy, he's been a hot spot for the Bears. I mean, going all the way back to training camp because of the importance of the 3 technique in a 4-3 defense, and we don't even know if that's what the Bears will be running next year. Who knows? But do you look at Jervon Dexter as, quote-unquote, just a role player, or do you think he can still be a legit starter in this league? I'm worried about him.
Well, he's a legit star. I mean, he's a legit player.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's not Jalen Carter. He's not Chris Jones. He's not a monster, but he's a good player.
Okay.
If you get good players around him, he can be effective. He's got his 5 sacks from the defensive tackle position. It's way more than 5 sacks, though. I mean, you know, is he beating offensive guards when they're sliding away from him? I don't see that on any regular basis right now. You know, when you get a one-on-one with an offensive guard, if he's playing Green Bay this weekend and, you know, there's Elgton Jenkins at left guard, and the center, Josh Myers, is sliding away from him. Is he beating Elgton Jenkins one-on-one? Because you got to win that battle when the center slides away from you. And let's just see if he does it. I mean, that's be a good 8 or 10 plays to go watch him on.
What's your assessment for the lack of production from Montez Sweat this year?
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And Baldy?
Baldy?
Yep. Did we break down?
Yep.
We got you. We have a little breakdown. We had a Baldy breakdown.
We're good.
Okay. Did you hear me?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear the question, Ruth. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. What would be your assessment for sort of the reasoning behind Montez Sweat's lack of sack numbers, production, whatever you want to call it this year?
Well, here's Montez. Montez, you want him on your defense. He's 6'6". He's 285 pounds. He's a great kid. He plays hard. He's not a great pass rusher. But he doesn't have an array of moves to beat you. But within the confines of a good defense, if you've got somebody that's winning inside, if you've got another guy on the opposite side, like when he had Chase Young for a year or two when they were really good up front, he's going to get to the quarterback a little bit more frequently when you move that quarterback off the spot. If you can move Jordan Love off the spot and Montez Sweat gets to use his speed and his length, he's probably going to get you 9 or 10 sacks. But if you're saying, is Montez Sweat an elite pass rusher in this business? You wouldn't put him in the top 10, might not put him in the top 15. Like, he's not that type of player. He just hasn't developed like that, but he's a good player he could be a great player on a good defense. If you get the pieces around him where they got to hold the ball a little bit, you could get him into third and longs. You could get some, because like his length is really, it's impressive. You know, he's got long arms. He's, you know, he does slide off protection eventually. If the quarterback has to hold enough time, if the quarterback gets chased, he can chase with the best of them. So there's things that you really like about Montez, but can he just convert speed to power? Can he just, you know, do some of the things that these pass rushers that get you 12, 14 sacks, Myles Garrett, some of these guys, Micah Parsons, like some of these guys are getting 12, 14 sacks every year. Like, he's not that type of player.
Yeah, I mean, that's good perspective on him. And I think it was Layla Rahimi who asked a really good question. It wasn't her opinion but she asked the question of, was he worth a second round pick in retrospect?
And the contract.
And my answer is 100% absolutely yes. Baldy, and I don't know if you think differently, but even though he's not, as you said, not necessarily 10th or top 15 in pass rushing, he's still, when he's 100% healthy, he does things that I think are worth the contract extension that they gave him and a second-round pick. What say you on that question?
No, I agree. Look, I mean, if I'm building a team right now, I need my quarterback. I got to build a stable offensive line with depth, and I'm putting every other resource I have into my defensive line, like the Vikings did this year. You know, the way that the good teams in Philadelphia Eagles have drafted, you know, four guys in the first round, three of them from Georgia on their defensive front. Like, I'm putting my resources there. So Montez would be part of my resources, you know, and trying to build a top flight defensive front. That's how you win these games. You got to affect the quarterback, and he'd be a pillar in my defense. He was a good player last year when they brought him in. The defense was much better a year ago when they were healthy, taking the ball away at a much better rate. Jaquan Briscoe was healthy. The linebackers were all over the place. So they looked better last year than they have this year. The injuries at the corner position, at the safety position has affected them. Losing, you know, Billings hurt in the run game. But so I do think that he's a pillar with whatever defensive style they play going forward right now.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Jalen Johnson yesterday was pretty vocal about some of the issues stemming back to training camp of, I don't even really know, Grody, help me out here, like not players not being reprimanded or
disciplined
yeah. for some of the things that weren't going well in training camp. And Jalen Johnson almost calling for players to sit if they're not doing things up to the standard. What does a player like Jalen Johnson speaking out like that mean for this organization moving forward?
Well, it probably needs to be said, and it probably publicly needs to be said, because it's clear that this team has a lot of issues. All right, and it's more than just protecting the quarterback. It's far more than that. And so, look, there's head coach has been fired. You know, the interim head coach is going to get fired. You want to go compete with Detroit in this division, it's the toughest division in football right now. If you want to go to compete in this division, better start with player discipline and being on time and being committed to this game. Because if you're not, then just going to be caught in this turnover that Chicago's being caught in right now. But it starts with that. You better, the head coach better have everybody's attention, better be able to stand up in the front of the room and get everybody's attention and have everybody follow. If they don't, then what's happened in Chicago has happened. But probably good that Jalen said it. I hope he's looking in the mirror himself, if he's involved with any of this stuff as well. But, you know, leaders have to speak out, and these things need to be said, because it's clear that this is this collapse, colossal collapse that they're in right now. And it's the worst in the whole league, is more than just talent at this point.
Breaking my heart here, Baldy, because I remember you were so high on the potential for this team and for Caleb Williams. And I loved listening to, you know, that side of you. And now it's just like we're all in this together of like, what happened? Like, it's just crazy as we go into week 18.
Well, it all started that fateful day in Washington, you know, with the Hail Mary. I mean, it started there, but it probably even, you know, they had beaten, if I remember correctly, I think they beat Carolina and Jacksonville, you know, to kind of put the little win streak together. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of remember, like, who they were playing at that point, you know, before you kind of get carried away and, okay, well, we should have beaten Washington. Well, Washington turned out to be a great team, a very good team, and their quarterback is going to be the rookie of the year, and deservedly so. But they could have taken them down that day, but I don't know what Tyreek Stevenson was doing, you know, before the Hail Mary, and, you know, it's a terrible look, period. You know, and then to have you get beat on that particular play, which you should never get beat on. So that started the downfall. But it was probably the seeds of this destruction were probably laid well before that game.
Great stuff, as always, Baldy. We appreciate you coming on, man, and we will talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks so much, sure. Baldy.
Yep. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you as well. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo Game Day be delicious.
Mayo Game Day. Yeah. Doesn't that break your heart listening to him talk about the Bears like this? Because, like, I watched the roller coaster of Baldy, and, like, I feel like he was giving some really good positive insight about the potential of this team, and then we all watched it crash and burn.
We did. We've all been there. We've all been here together. By the way, he mentioned that Washington game because that's the one that everybody alludes to when we talk about where this thing went off the tracks. On the latest episode of the Take the North podcast, which is up and running right now with Dan Wiederer and me, we actually ranked the losses from least worst to worst. So maybe I'll give you my 10 to 5 when we return here. And I'll be curious too, Ruthie, as to what you looked at as the worst couple of losses throughout this season. Also, breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. From Scott Merkin of MLB.com, the White Sox have agreed to terms with free agent infielder, outfielder Josh Rojas. It's a one-year deal, according to Scott Merkin. He's 30 years old, non-tendered by the Mariners, but received interest from, according to Scott Merkin, from multiple teams following the move. The left-handed hitter finished 2024. His slash line was 225, 304, 336. So that's a defensive guy. Not exactly going to move the meters, but that is a little bit of White Sox news for you right there. When we return, more Bears talk. We'll talk about some of the worst losses. I also want to play some Thomas Brown for you. And if you missed it earlier, there was a very special award that was given out to a Bears player yesterday at Halas Hall. It's all coming up next on the Molly and Haw Show on The Score.